Reverend Cheryl Garby. Thanks for joining us by phone. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much, Julie. It's wonderful to be with you today.
Now, with our community being socked from seemingly every direction these days, all starting with that coronavirus restriction back in March, how is your corner of the world these days over there at First Wayne Street United Methodist Church?
Well, I think in many ways we're challenged like everyone else. We're finding new ways to communicate that are more challenging for some than others. And on the other hand, I think in a way it's really knocked us out of complacency and challenged us as a ministry to be using a variety of languages to share the good news. And it's interesting because I think that also pairs with what the world's dealing with right now. We need to find new and better ways to communicate with each other, whether it's due to the pandemic or whether it is due to the fact that we realize there's sometimes conflict between us because we're not speaking the same language. So we get really comfortable doing things the way we've always done them, but we're learning that we need to find new ways and better ways to communicate, whether it's the good news in the spiritual arena or whether it's new cultural languages, new languages of understanding, new languages of peace and justice, just create a better climate in our neighborhoods and in our community.
Wonderful, wonderful points, Cheryl. And one challenge all downtown churches have been addressing for the better part of a decade or more, maybe, is how to grow your congregations. Now, yours came up with one of the really early musical motivations. That's the Wednesdays on Wayne Street. How did that work for you pre-social distancing and then, of course, during lockdown? What does that do for you and your world, your congregation?
Well, art and beauty and music has, I think, always been a part of the DNA of First Wayne Street United Methodist Church. We sit right on the edge of, well, many, many districts, but certainly on the edge of the cultural district. And a friend said one time, music has a way of speaking to us that nothing else can do. And I think it speaks a language of its own that's really significant. But Wednesdays in Wayne has been wonderful. It's been an opportunity for people on their lunch hour to brown bag it if they want to come down for a 30, 40-minute beautiful free concert exposing them to a variety of music, a variety of wonderful artists that we have in the Fort Wayne area and beyond under the organization of our own Dr. Jeffrey North. And I think the beauty of music is kind of like the beauty of a good story. Everyone can plug into it in some way, regardless of what's going on in their lives. Some way that music will speak to them in the way that they need to hear it. So it really does become a place for the Spirit to speak to individuals, regardless of what their spiritual orientation, if you will. So it's been a wonderful time of gathering for people of all ages. And we offer a $5 wonderful lunch in our atrium afterwards, so it can also be a time of fellowship.
Oh, what a package you present. And that's, after all, the whole point of a congregation.
Yes, absolutely.
What's it going to morph into as we continue getting back on track through the summer? Are there plans being put in motion to make it be a real time event?
Dr. North will probably be planning that for October. Wednesdays on Wayne occurs on the Wednesdays in the month of June and the month of October. This Wednesday, June 10th, will be Dr. North on our wonderful Beckerath organ. Wednesday, June 17th, will be clarinet and piano chamber music. How often do you run across that?
Mm-hmm.
And Wednesday, June the 24th, will be Luke Fitzpatrick on the flute and Anne Llewellyn on the harp. So that's for June, and those will all be virtual. And then there will be a break, and again, Wednesdays on Wayne will occur in October. And I'm not sure what he has up his sleeve, but I have a hunch he's going to be hoping that that will be an in-person experience in October.
That's fantastic. So just when getting back on track was starting to happen, Cheryl, and safely building a new normal was a focus, the wrongful death of George Floyd has rocked our world. What sadness. How are you, your congregation, your city, your soul? How's everything doing?
Boy, that's a tricky one to answer. I think that oftentimes we need something that absolutely rocks our world, especially I'm going to speak for myself and say quite honestly, in many ways I speak from a position of white privilege. We hear that phrase. On the other hand, certainly as a female clergy person, I've also faced my own issues of people kind of wondering, some gender bias there, if you will. forgive me, I always say most churches assume a male clergy person is competent until he proves otherwise, and they assume a female clergy is incompetent until she proves otherwise. So sometimes the bar is a little high. But that being said, I do not want to make less of the devastation that has happened, and it is certainly awakening this congregation to a reality that they cannot be asleep to. One of the surprises is how supportive the congregation has been in realizing we need to learn more, and we need to do more, and we need to listen more to one another. And not only have we not always heard the voices of our neighbors in the community, we've not always listened to the voices of people of color right within our own congregation. And so we have been talking about that. That is really a great next step. First Wayne Street United Methodist Church in many ways was on the periphery of the epicenter. I would certainly say that a week ago. And many of us for the first time were experiencing the smoke bombs, the tear gas, sounds, the sight, to realize this is not just something that's happening on television or in Washington, D.C. or in Minneapolis, but it is a reality right here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And so it certainly has captured our attention. And the task that we are talking about right now is to not let things settle down and to not have done something. So how do we keep the voice going and identifying those voices that we need to listen to so that we can learn from them to think about what are the next best steps in transforming the congregation, our neighborhood, our community? How can we bring our gifts to bear?
You bring up seemingly all of the questions, and if not concrete answers, Cheryl, you are bringing up an outline for what it will take to continue making progress. Now, you have been tasked with many missions in your life of service. How are the challenges of the past 3 months, especially the ones we were just talking about, different than anything you have experienced?
For one thing, I think that the virus has not helped the situation that we've seen on racial inequity and oppression, because the social distancing makes it even harder for us really to communicate with each other. I think they say that, 70 or 80% of communication is body language, and, you know, I would include facial expression. You know, Zoom has its place, or Google Teams, but it's not the same as being in person. So I think that the reality that we're honoring social distancing makes this even more difficult, because the solutions are going to come from effective communication, for sure. So I think that that has made it more complicated. I think somehow the issues are greater and larger. Worldwide health, care of our neighbors and people around us, just more broadly. I just think that these are much more serious issues than we have ever dealt with before. And so it really has become a challenge. One of the things that I have shared recently with small groups and with some of our folks is that I think we have to be careful to not let ourselves be paralyzed to do nothing, because somehow the problem seems beyond our capability or larger than we can handle. And one of my thinkings has always been, you know, how do you eat an elephant? You eat it one bite at a time. So for me, folks have said, what should we do next? I said, well, I think we have to look at what's right before us. What is the next step? We have Latino brothers and sisters. We have African-American brothers and sisters right here in our own congregation. How about we start there? How's that for a concept, you know? So I think some of it is listening and looking to see what is the next step going to be. So in some ways, these feel like bigger problems, but in some ways, they're the same problems. It's all about listening, thinking about what voices are not at the table. And I think when we listen enough and we listen to the right voices, the answers are there for us as far as what the next step is. First Wayne Street sits at a crossroads at a key location both geographically and historically. They sit right on the boundary of the arts community and yet the governmental community and yet the southeastern quadrant. And we are so excited to be partnering with Reverend Angelo Mante and his Alive Community Outreach Ministry. We're catty corner from the rescue mission. We are the next block down from the new Redemption House. And I don't believe any of this is an accident. God has placed folks here. And it's not only the folks that are here in this congregation right now, but I believe it offers the opportunity for people who really want to make a difference. They want to put their faith into action. They want to use their gifts to make their life matter and to create change. This is a historic time and a historic place for this congregation.
I certainly hope you're right, Cheryl. It's all the right thing to do, the right way to be. From your combined perspectives here, is finding an answer to this lack of social justice doable?
Well, Theologically, we would say that human beings are always sinning. That's what requires the grace of God and forgiveness from each other. So is it going to solve it? I can't speak that. We live in an imperfect, sinful world. And so I think it's something we're going to always deal with. Probably my greatest concern is that I think it is too easy for us to pass off responsibility for addressing it and trying to do something about it. And by that, what I mean is we cannot point to the government to fix it, and we cannot point to the institutional church to fix it. It's going to be in the heart of each and every individual person. And God help us. I believe we all have a piece of bigotry and injustice within ourselves. Some of that is you're evaluating the world around you. Maybe it's the old caveman fight and flight. You're assessing, you're making judgments about the world around you. But at the end of the day, it's going to rest in the heart of every individual. Before they're worried about changing the world, they got to change themselves. So I think the church has an important role, or any of our spiritual communities, our Islamic brothers and sisters, our Jewish brothers and sisters, our Buddhist brothers and sisters. I believe God's spirit reveals itself in many different ways. And I think all of our faith communities have an important role, because I think that's the place where often the heart can be touched and be softened and changed and begin to challenge us to think about how we individually are going to respond. I don't mean to take it away from our institutions, but I think it's too easy to say, well, I can't fix it. I need the Fort Wayne City Council to deal with that, you know, or I need the federal government to fix that. No, it is us here, boots on the ground, that are going to have to do it.
Strength in numbers, starting right here. I hope it makes sense. We hope you're right. And as regards your life in service, how did it get you here? And what would you say your best skill sets equipped you for, well, if not all of this, just in general, your life in this wonderful service that you're doing?
Oh, well, you know, somebody said one day something like, if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plan. And that's certainly been true. I grew up in Fort Wayne, Indiana, graduated from New Haven, and I've shared with many, I find it interesting that I actually grew up as a young girl in the First Presbyterian Church here in Fort Wayne. And who knew that that young girl who grew up at 300 West Wayne Street would end up at 300 East Wayne Street as the senior pastor of First Wayne Street United Methodist Church? As I alluded to earlier, I never had any plans to do this. I think all along my life used whatever sense of call I had or what gifts I had to make decisions at that point. I loved serving in the local church. I had never known a female pastor, but I helped with whatever ministry I felt needed to be done. I simply loved helping people, and I came to discover that's where my joy was. There were many wonderful people that spoke into my life. I think I keep pushing back to the importance of listening. For me, I believe God has spoken most profoundly, perhaps through the Bible, certainly, but through other people that I trusted. And our pastor, 20-some years ago, said to me, Cheryl, today you're in the transportation business, because my husband and I had originally worked at North American Van Lines, and we owned our own moving and storage company outside of Louisville, Kentucky. So we were in the moving business. The pastor said, Cheryl, today you're in the transportation business, but someday I see you in the transformation business. So that was just the next step, someone I trusted. So I'd say it's part of it is an organizational skill set, because the reality is a church is a business. It truly is. It's the Lord's business. So we want to make sure we take very good care of that.
It sounds like you've made the most of that, Cheryl. And okay, you are actually set to retire at the end of this month. I really am curious. Can you say you're glad it was this June and not last June you make that decision?
It's funny because more people have kind of made that comment. Two comments I would make. The first one is I am grateful to be here for this time. No, I think it was good to be here in that this congregation is crazy enough and wacky enough to actually have embraced me, and I have felt loved and encouraged by them. We love each other here, and there's been tremendous trust. That's a powerful tool when you're dealing with a pandemic, when you're dealing with oppression and injustice issues that require honest and hard discussions. Those are best had in an environment of trust between people. And I have felt that, and we've been able to be open and honest with each other and talk about our failures. So I wish I had been here longer, but I think these 3 years were a time where those relationships were built that helped us respond to what has happened in a healthy way. The other thing I know from experience is I feel like I have saved my wonderful successor, the Reverend Jason Morris. He's going to be coming on board July 1, and I'll tell you, it's a handful enough to step into a church when you aren't sure where your toothbrush is and you haven't learned your address yet and you're trying to learn names. I mean, that time is stressful enough in building relationship, and I would not have wanted him to have to try to navigate what we've been through these last few months as a brand new pastor. So I feel like for me, I've come for such a time as this right now, and he's coming for such a time as will come after July 1st.
And we are all in this together. What would you like to share with everyone in our community right now to get us to the other side?
Well, the first thing I would say is, on the one hand, it's going to be okay. In the time that I've been here serving First Wayne Street, this community has wonderful people and wonderful leadership. The key is going to be to listen to one another, to not let it fade away. As many know, we did put up protection on the church since we were in the heart of the protest. But this past weekend, it's been peaceful. People have had the chance to protest. I think that speaks very well of our community. I think it speaks well of our law enforcement personnel. So we want to keep them in prayer. We want to keep them listening. We want to keep building relationship. Listen to the voices that are out there and then identify the voices that we're not hearing and make sure they have a place to be heard. And listen so that you can continue to learn. And this community has a very bright future ahead of it.
Reverend Cheryl Garby, it was an honor to speak with you today. We are so thankful for the devotion you've given to our city. Please continue keeping that faith and do carry the gift.
Julia, thank you so much, and thank you to all of your listeners. I appreciate it.